Okay, today we're going to start our discussion about the Heter Mechira. We'll start with a little introduction. You're probably aware the Heter Mechira is what we call the idea that you can sell Eretz Yisrael or parts of Eretz Yisrael to someone who's not Jewish and use that as a way to avoid the Isurim of Shemitah, or the Mitzvahs of Shemitah. This first idea came up in the late 1800s, or came up in the modern era in the late 1800s. When the Rabbanim and Eretzol were not so interested in doing it, eventually went to big poskim in Europe, who some of them were allowed them to do it. Based on that, they did. It was a very desperate situation in Eretz Yisrael at that point, and certain gedolim in Europe told them that yes, it was okay to make them the heter, the bechira. And from that time on, people have been debating and arguing and discussing this, starting from the very first time that it happened up until this very Shemitah right now. The debate's been going on and on. People in each generation have been arguing about it. We're not going to, by any means, talk about all the parts of the Torah to the Shaila. I mean, we'd be here till next Shemitah. But we're going to talk about some of the main issues, some this time and some next time. And a lot I'm going to work around. Rabbi Vadya Seif has a series of tshuvas, seven tshuvas, of course, in Shemitah, seven tshuvas in a row, in the 10th chelik of Rabbi Omer, about the Heter Mechira. Each of the tshuvas is about a different portion of it, and Kedarka, he has lots and lots to say about it, lots of marmakarmas, lots of discussion about it, so a lot of what we're going to say comes from there. Oddly enough, some of the more, if we use the word, Haredi svarim about Shemitah, and nothing about Heter Mechira. It's as if it didn't exist. Very surprisingly. It's like as if like it never even happened, which, you know, I mean, you don't have to agree with it, but it's as if they don't, not like a discussion, it's like it doesn't even exist. Anyhow, so just as we're getting started.
I don't even want to deal with it in terms of.
Right, like not even. Like,
so what you do with produce that's
nothing. Like as, it didn't happen. Like nothing, nobody home. Okay, anyhow. So, kacha. So some of the people who are most prominently mentioned about it. I'm going to mention this are as follows. I don't know this point. Okay. First person to bring up is Rav Kook. Rav Kook is not the one who started the Mechira, although he's the most famous for starting the Mechira. What happened was, the way Rabbi Shechta says over the story, is that in the first Mechira that they made, the first Shemitah Yidden were in Eretz Yisrael, there was no Mechira, and it was a really bad, desperate situation. The second Shemitah, they asked Gedolim in Europe if they could do it, if they make the Mechira, and whoever it was who told them that yes, they could, the local Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael were still apprehensive. The Eder was apprehensive about doing the Mechira. They said, go to the Rav in Yafo, which was not Rav Kook then. Go to the Rav in Yafo, and he'll do the Mechira for you, and he did. Whoever that person was. By the time the next Shemitah came around, it had sort of been part of the office of the Rav of Yafo was to do the Mechira, and that by that point, Rav Kook was the Rav of Yafo, and it was like part of his job. So like part of what he did was to do the Mechira. So Rav Kook wrote much about it, and supported it. Now, most people, I'm going to continue and come back to this in a second. And later, you know, many years later, you know, 30, 40, 50 years later, Chazanish came to Eretz Yisrael. He was from the strong people who argued with the Heter and said that it's not appropriate. We should not be doing it. Again, there were people discussing this before, during, and after. But those are two people who are well known to be involved in it. Now, most people look at it. Most people take it as Rav Kook said, the Heter Mechira is l'chatchila. That's what you can do. It's 100%, no question. That's l'chatchila. And the Chazanish said, absolutely, it's horrific. It's terrible, even with the others. Okay. So I just want to bring you quotes from each of them, just to show you that those extremes are not exactly accurate. Okay, and this is a quote from Murray Cook's farm. It's from Mishpatkar. There's nothing to talk about. It's fine. However, even so, we should do whatever we can. Even so, not even though we do have the Mechira, we should do whatever we can so that Yidden living in Eretz Yisrael should be able to keep Shemitah the way they're supposed to. They should do it the way they're supposed to. And any part of Eretz Yisrael that people are able to keep the mitzvah the way they're supposed to, we should be thrilled that people are able to keep mitzvah Shemitah the way they're supposed to. But, you know, the mice is, we can't look down at the people who are keeping, who are following the head of the Mechira because, even though it's not the best thing to do to have him a hefter, and never we feel bad that we're in such a matzav that we have no choice but to rely on the hefter mechira. Like never, what can we do? We're in Eretz Yisrael, we have no choice but to do it. But even so, what should we do? L'maisa is it works, and therefore, for what it's worth, we shouldn't make the people so to speak feel bad that they're doing the wrong thing. Okay, so even though he's in din, he's saying yes, it's okay to do the mechira. Yes, it's fine, and he was the one who did it for them. But even so, that said, by no means did he think that was the best choice. If we're stuck and we feel so bad, I can't be as poetic as he is. But how bad he feels that we can't do shmita that is supposed. Okay, that's the cook. So now the other side, the other is the Chazanish, who of course. Was not in favor of the hector, and he said like this. So he said, "Oisim shemayfred." Whoops. Okay, it's going by itself. Those people who sell the hector mechira, but the part in brackets they're doing by themselves is something we'll talk about next time. Why that was important? He says, "Lamaisa is they're doing the wrong thing because the erevam loy sechadim." We'll talk about that next time. He says, "Lamaisa is the mechira works." And therefore, the food doesn't have kedusha shviz. We can talk about that in a second. And so lamaisa, I wouldn't do it. It's not a good idea. But if they did it, yeshu mamarish is shiyis mechu, and it's okay. I mean, there's something to it. So again, we're hearing that even though in din, you'll hear again and again how he disagreed with the mechira. Then I think it was we should do it, but not in the extreme that we're used to.
So who's the bar sampa that says it's not hal, or you can't use it?
Only in that I know of. In very recent times, there are people who say that's completely zero, there's nobody home, nothing at all. But, no, I get the Chazish himself. This Chazish himself is saying is that he wouldn't do it, and it's not right. But if a person did it, there was what to rely on.
Is there somebody...
Now, well, I have to say something.
Zero?
Right? Wait, I have to say something. The part that's there in brackets, which we're going to talk about next time, and this part about Shlichas and Lois Sukhanim is going to be next time, and there's potential that according to Chazanish, if the mechira is on a certain weight, it would be completely worthless. Okay, we'll talk about that next time. It'll be next time. We'll talk, but that's going to be for next time, why that should be. What I'm saying is, conceptually, did he say that it's completely worthless? No, he didn't say it's completely worthless. He had tainus, and he had lots of pages written about how terrible it is, and what technically is right and wrong about it. But I have to say, zero, it's completely worthless. Okay, so just a little bit put things in perspective.
Also, if it's those times, that's their problem.
Well, that's next time. Okay. We'll talk about that next time. That's not for today. Okay. What's the Mara saying?
Because how do you tell? Just standing there, you see people working in the field. You don't know.
That's a good question. Okay, I'm not sure the answer to the question. What?
There's a way to do it better.
The last is. I'll go through this again. Sorry, yes. And the last is Ravadia, who we'll hear lots from. Also, okay. My last thing, I know this is a very long introduction. Last point here is that you see or you get a feeling. We've talked about this before. A feeling. You get a feeling that Chazanish and Rav Kook really came from the same angle. It really came from the same thing they were trying to build the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. They both came in times when things were very tenuous and very not clear that things would work at all. As we've mentioned, the Chazanish has tremendous coolness in how to keep Shemitah. And that was his way of saying, okay, we'll be farmers and we'll keep people, there'll be agriculture in Eretz Yisrael. We've mentioned lots and lots of coolness based on which farmers actually able to keep Shemitah. And Rav Kook came from a different angle, which was he didn't hold of those coolness. And it was like, well, if we don't give them a way to survive, we have to keep people living in Eretz Yisrael from a different angle. Okay. So now on to what we really want to talk about, which is the prerequisites for the Hefter Mechira. What do I mean by the prerequisites? Next time we'll talk about the actual shaila in the mechira itself. Okay, but I'm going to talk today about three different prerequisites, three different items that need to be in place to be even able to have a mechira, to even consider having a mechira. Okay, as opposed to next time is not going to be the prerequisites, the shaila that are within the mechira itself. Okay, and the three prerequisites, two of them we've already spoken about, so we'll move those quickly. And one is the question about Yevul Mahri. We mentioned beforehand, there's a well-known machlokes, the Beis Yosef and the Mapid, whether if a guy owns a field in Eretz Yisrael, does his produce have Kedusha Shviyas? Okay? So now, according to the Beis Yosef, it has no Kedusha Shvias, so there's within, it's possible to make a Mechira. According to the Mabit, the produce still has Kedusha Shvias, so you haven't really, you haven't completely solved the problem. All you've done is, you've avoided the issue of Svichim. We mentioned that there's no issue of Svichim on the Goy's field, but according to the Mabit, which the Chazanish wasn't supported, the Chazanish told people to follow the Mabit, then there's still Kedusha Shvias, there's still an issue to do Moracha, all those, well, everything applies to, if you sold to a guy, so you didn't gain as much by selling the entire, so you don't have the beginnings, it's a, why call it prerequisite, you're
what
missing.
Did you gain? What did you gain?
According to the Mabit?
Yeah.
Nothing. You gain it, that's not Tzichin. You gain it, that's not Tzichin. But, so, it's not Tzichin. So that is to say, that's a significant point, because fruits are going to be mutter even if someone works the land inappropriately, and vegetables would be also, but automatically, it's Tzichin. So you say that you didn't have Tzichin. But
why is there no Tzichin?
Why is no Svichin? We talked about this. The reason is because Svichin is an issue. The Chazal did, they said Svichin or Asa because they don't want people to go ahead and plant. So they didn't make that issue on the guy because the guy is failed. The guy's going to plant. He doesn't care whether they tell him to plant or not to plant. So they didn't make the issue of Svichin the first place. Okay. So that is to say, those who make that the Mechira are assuming like the Beis Yosef. Okay, which is a very reputable. Most of the Beis Yosef follows that. Most of the people in Eretz Yisrael follow the Beis Yosef. Okay, so now. Just in this talking about this shaila, Rav Kook has a big chiddush to answer a very obvious question. Okay, I don't see so many other people talking about the question, but his answer is quite a chiddush. The question is like this: he says, if there's a din, if it's possible to sell Eretz Yisrael like we're doing, making a head to mechir, we're selling Eretz Yisrael to a guy and avoiding shvita, he says, how come nobody did it until now? He says, there are plenty of stories in the Gemara about people who were really in bad shape and really had a hard time keeping shvita. How come nobody thought of this Mechira until, I don't know, 1,000 years later? Where's everybody been? Why didn't anybody think of this cooler until now? What's the reason not to have this cooler? Sounds like a good idea. If we're so smart that we came up with this cooler, how come 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, no one thought of this idea? Your question. And the answer, he gives three answers. One we're going to say later, and one now. And that is like this. He says, what did he say? And the third one I'm not going to tell you. Okay. The third one. Okay, the third I'll tell you also if you want. The third, he says like this. He said, I'll mention the third one when we get to the right place. Okay, he says, the answer is like this. He says, there's a machlokes, we have a machlokes, Beis Yosef and Mabit, whether Yevul Machri has Kedusha Shvias or doesn't have Kedusha Shvias. He says, that's a machlokes that we have today. But Bismarck Gemara, there was no machlokes. Bismarck Gemara, there was a special takana that produce of a goy's field is usher. Minadin it wasn't. Minadin, the din is like the Beis Yosef. But there was a takana that I wanted to be like the Mabit. And he said, but that he's miyashim, all kinds of riots that there are like to the Mabit, that from the Gemara, that Yevul Machri is also. He says, that was all takana darbanan. Why? Chachom were afraid that if people, if Yevul Machri would be mutter, people would confuse Yevul Machri with Yevul Yisrael, and the produce from the Yitz field, they wouldn't treat the Kedusha Shvias. So they made a takana that even Yevul Machri has Kedusha Shvias also. It's a takana darbanan. And that takana, but only applied when most of the people in Eretz Yisrael were Yidden. So in the time of the Gemara, when most of the people were so Yidden, then there was such a takana. Once everybody left, once most of the people in Eretz Yisrael were Arabs, all of a sudden there was no more takana anymore. And now, so he says, so therefore that takana, it used to be, the din was, it used to be Midrash Rabbanan, the din was like the Mabit. Once Yidden left Eretz Yisrael, the din became like the Beis Yosef. So they didn't have a Mechira because the Mechira would have done nothing to them. But we can have a Mechira. So he says,
how did
he
know the takana went off from
Moses? He says, beyond knowing that it went off, so far we heard two chidushim. One is that there was such a takana. There's no Gemara that says such a takana. He's saying that there was such a takana. We have no record that there was such a takana. The second thing he said is the takana fell away once Yidden left. That's not typical. Most takanas don't fall away when the situation changes.
And what else? What other halakhic event was there? When most Yidden left, that you could say that.
I don't know. There's a third part. When Rav Kook was alive, most of the people in Eretz Yisrael were not Jewish. See, he says, when the day will come, when there will be mainly Yidden living in Eretz Yisrael, like today, when most of the people in Eretz Yisrael will be Yidden, he says, Efshur, that the Takana won't come back. He says, it was a Takana in times of Chazal, but it wasn't even like the Takana was when they're mainly Yidden, and that sort of like it goes back and forth. He says, I'm sure that it also won't come back when they're mainly Yidden. So there's three steps over here. First of all, he's creating such a takana, saying the takana fell away when Yidden stopped being the majority, and then the takana will not come back when Yidden become the majority again. Okay, each of those steps is a chiddush. Each one of those is a we wouldn't have guessed. Each one of those, we didn't know that there was a Takana in the first place. We wouldn't guess that Takana would fall apart, and surely, but then it should come back. If there was such a Takana when it's mainly hidden, you think that nowadays, that most of the people that are totally hidden, it should come back. Okay, so he's using that to explain why, until now, until 100 years ago, 150 years ago, no one ever heard of such a Takana. No one made Hetta Mechira. So this is how he's being miyashed that and trying to fit it into to everything should make sense. Okay, and as I mentioned to you, that's quite a chiddush to say this.
So the last part, the biggest
that it won't come back. Yeah. So he makes it like it was like a temporary thing now while everyone's here. Once everybody leaves, the Takana fell apart, so we don't need to make a new Takana. It's as if we don't need to make a new... He doesn't say for sure. He says, Efshir, that we won't have to. We wouldn't do it again. But of course, Efshir is... I mean, yeah.
So those that keep it, they talk about the Efshir. How do they get around the Efshir?
A little bit, most people are, so to speak, ignoring the question. The original question was, why didn't they think of this 1,000 years ago? So he has other answers to that question, and you don't have to have an answer to the question. They say, well, they didn't think of it, you know? Right? We're going to get to another one of his answers in a second. But they said, well, who knows why there's no, you know, this whole idea is built on that question. Okay. So our second prerequisite to making a Mechira is, you have to assume that Shemitah nowadays is the Rabbanan.
I understand that. Forget about the fact they don't think about it. There's a kasha.
Which is?
The kasha is now that the Roy Yisrael. So they don't even agree there was a kasha.
Maybe the question that started, that preempted that point, which was, why didn't someone make a Hetta Mechira 1,000 years ago? Why didn't His answer was because at that time it would have been meaningless to make it. Because it was Takana at that time that things on the glaze field were usher anyhow. So they had no value to making a Takana. But if you don't want to bother by the question, or you use one of his other answers, then yeah. Okay, the second thing is, in order to make a Hetta Mechira, you have to say that Shemitah is a Drabana. Why? We're going to hear that there's lots of weaknesses to the Mechira. There's lots of weaknesses to it. And therefore, in order to say it, everyone who says it says, since the din is that Shemitah nowadays is a Drabanan, therefore we could be Makel and do all kinds of things that we're going to do. Okay, and as we've mentioned, we talked about this before, and that is very well accepted, that Shemitah nowadays is a Drabanan. There are two extremes. There are some people who hold that Shemitah nowadays is the Raisa, and the opposite extreme is some people hold there's no Shemitah even in the Drabanan nowadays. Okay, there's two opposites, but the mainstream Shemitah Taka is that it's a Drabanan. So on this, they're on firm ground to say that the Heter is based on Shemitah being Drabanan, and in fact, it is. That's pretty well accepted.
Why is the Heter only work?
Because if we were talking about a Shiloh with the Raisa, all the coolers that you have to come on to.
Not inherent
that all cool you have to be Samuhan, which we wouldn't have done that if we were talking about a Raisa. It's a Rabbanan, so they were. But everyone says, everyone who's Mekel says, and it's a Rabbanan, and therefore I could be willing to be Mekel about all kinds of things. Okay. There are those who have an added Tziruf that's related to Shemitah being Rabbanan, which is, we've talked about, that it could be that this year is not Shemitah. It's a question which year Shemitah was. Which year Shemitah? So they want to be Mitzaref. They want to be Mitzaref. That is an extra, not only Shemitah to Drabanan, but Kevin is a Tziruf that maybe it may not even be Shemitah altogether. Okay? On this, there's two details to that point. One is, there's something you may know about. It's almost Pesach already. There's a famous Ran who talks about Heseba by Dal Kaisers, okay? Who says when you have a Drabanan, and Safi Drabanan Lekulu will mean that you could be making all that both. Because some Drabanan should do Hesev by the first two Kaisers, do Hesev by the last two Kaisers, so you can make about both, you don't have to do Hesev at all. When there's a Safed Drabanan, it will mean you don't do the din at all, then you have to do both. Then there's no Safed Drabanan the cooler. It's a well-known run about Hesev. So they say, well, maybe we should keep Shemitah then both years nowadays. Because if you say Safed Drabanan the cooler on both years of Shemitah, we should keep it on both.
You want to use the Safed.
Right, so basically, it talks about
Shemitah off by 1 year, or is it on the other side?
It changes. Now it's a couple of years away. It moves, depending on where you are, which years you are, how many years apart it might be. So the base lady talks about this. But what I said is, it can sign that whole gufa is a raya that it's not really considered a suffix anymore. It may not be a suffix anymore what year Shemitah. And it's other paskin that Shemitah is this year. There was once a machlokes rishonim, but it's not a machlokes anymore. We're settled. We don't have a suffix anymore. Okay. The second part was that Rav Kook. That's Rav Kook's one of his other answers as to why they didn't have the Hetta Mechira back in the times of the Gemara, is because in the times of the Gemara they knew what Shemitah was. They didn't have this added tziruf that we were supposed to know what Shemitah is. But we have the added tziruf, so we can't say that was one of his other. That was the answer I was not going to say. Okay. The third answer I'm going to say in a second. Okay. And you'll remember when Rabbi Ramon was here, he said to us, He said that this was the thing, the really exciting part of the shir. He said to us is, he says, the whole het mechira is based, one of its legs that it's standing on it, that Shemitah's drop on him. He says, soon, Mashiach is coming, and Shemitah's not going to be drop on him, so we have to be ready. He says, if het mechira is our only way to live with Shemitah, what's going to happen tomorrow? Mashiach's going to come, we'll have nowhere to survive. So we have to think of etzes nowadays, of how we're going to survive. We have to be prepared already now for when Mashiach's going to come, and so we have to think about that. So don't just say, oh, I have het mechira. You have to be a little, you know, plan for the future. Tomorrow Mashiach's going to come, we have to be ready. Yeah, Rabbi Ramon is not a big believer. For people who are stuck, he says yes, but his etzes, he looks for other ways of dealing with Shemitah, so we don't have to worry about it, because if it's only based on Shemitah being Drabbanan, tomorrow's not going to be Drabbanan. You know, Mashiach's going to come, it won't be Drabbanan, we better be ready. Okay? That's a different angle on this. Okay, anyhow. Okay.
Well, okay, we could start out with the Shemitah year just like we did when we
Yeah. So. Yeah, but it'll be Teresa. Once you know, we meet all the conditions that we need for being Shemitah. When Shia comes, you know.
I think if also Shia comes, we'll
figure out.
We'll find solutions.
Solutions. Okay.
Those are the issues. These
okay.
Yeah, it comes in the middle of the years. The stuff that we were with Michael and getting.
Yeah. Okay. We'll deal with that.
There's been about that it said that that Shemitah is a different year based on the fact that we're not doing the evil.
Yes. Correct. Has to do with the Kibbutz.
So it's pushed in.
Yes. So the years are separated from each other. Correct. Okay. The last of the what I call prerequisites to have Shemitah is.
Yeah, but you said you did third character.
I didn't get it yet. I'm going to get to the second. The last of the prerequisites to have Het Mechira is Ashas Adchak. We have to be in a desperate situation. When they first came up with this idea of Het Mechira, they said things like this. This is the kind of thing that people say. They said, you know, like things are like so bad nowadays that if we're going to keep Shemitah, and they're going to steal our lands, you know, the Eden were in charge, and so they're going to steal our land, because if you don't work your land, I didn't exactly get this, but if you don't work your land, then they could steal it. But if you did work it, then they wouldn't steal it. I didn't get exactly how that worked. But somehow, in their minds, if you weren't working, they were allowed to take it from you. Something, I don't know exactly. So things were really bad news over there, and because it's terrible Shas and Chak, that's why they make them. Okay, just as an aside, once I mentioned this part about the Goyim stealing the lands, someone told me, I don't remember who said it, that Rabbi Yashiv originally was, I don't want to use the word that he was in favor of the Het Mechira, but he was supported or was, you know, willing to take that people should follow the Het Mechira until 1948. When the Yidden became in charge of Eretz Yisrael, this is the way it was told me, when the Yidden became in charge of Eretz Yisrael, and this idea that they were going to lose their lands fell away, now Yidden were in charge. Now the government was supportive of the Jews rather than being, you know, ambivalent or antagonistic. So at that point, he switched sides. They said, no, at this point, there's no basis for a Het Mechira. Okay? Whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. But that's what he changed based on this part. There was no more Hanokram Yichub Zelas at Moshe. Okay. Anyhow, so if you want to know how important this is, I mean, everybody mentions the Tchad. Rabbi Vaidi's last tshuva is completely about that, about why, since things are so bad, we could be samachan all kinds of shittas that we wouldn't have thought of being samachan, because things are so bad. Okay, so now, I'm not going to talk about whether that's accurate or not. In other words, is that true? If things are so bad, could you be samachan? How much of a das yachid could you be samachan? Or could you be samachan a das yachid even to be urban issued the right? So there's all kinds of shilas about whether that's true, since it's such a shas of chak, could be samachan. We'll accept that if it's a shas of chak, you could be samachan unusual shitas. But there's three questions about it. Okay, three questions about it. First is, to me, the most simple question. It's true, or we've been told that it's true, that back in the 1800s, things were awful. Okay? Yidden Bumamish literally starving to death if they didn't have some way to take care of their farm one more day. The Amamish hand, you know, day to day they were living on it, and there was no way to survive that they could see without a Het Mechira. They couldn't survive without by keeping Shemitah. Okay, the Goyim were going to steal their lands. They were Amamish going to start. They were living. They had nothing. They were Amamish poor as anything. So to tell them for a whole year you're not going to work, to them there was no way that they could imagine someone could survive like that. But nowadays, we don't see ourselves to be in that kind of situation. I mean, the way we envision it, the people living in Eretz Yisrael, maybe they don't live on the same scene that we do, but we would guess that they're way ahead of the way they were in the second base of Middash. things are very stable, and there's lots of, they're a lot more put together than they were in the 1800s. In the 1800s, they said, you know, and if we don't grow our own stuff, no one's going to sell us produce. That's what they said. No one's going to sell us anything. We'll have nothing to eat, because none of the neighbors, none of the Arabs around here would ever sell to us. That's not true. So let's just show you, they buy from all over the world. Maybe their immediate neighbors don't sell to them, but they buy from all over the world. It's not like they're going to starve to death. There's plenty to eat there. Not only that, nowadays, we have two other instances of how they can eat. They could survive. And the farmers could survive. We have greenhouses and oitzebezen, both of which we've talked about a certain amount, about ways that you could survive that didn't exist in the 1800s. So actually, what everybody said in the 1800s about why you could make a hechter mechira because things were so bad, Paul Kufa Levi tells us that we should not be making a mechira now. You can't say to me, well, you know, Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan said that you can make the mechira. In the 1800s, he was making, told me to make the mechira. Yeah, he told me to make the mechira because things were so bad. He wasn't dealing with today's situation, so the fact that it was so bad then and we were suddenly on the coolest, why is that a right that you could do it today? Today, do you think that we have it worse than they had it in the times of Beis Hamikdash? No. It's similar. Shemitah is a hard mitzvah. It's easy for us to keep Shemitah. You know, we live in America. But Shemitah is a hard mitzvah. So, of course, it's going to be hard for everyone to keep it. But do we have this super darkat that they had in the 1800s? I don't think so. So it's harder to say, well, we're going to justify being make or because of the darkat gadol that they had when that doesn't exist anymore. So it seems that sooner or later, you have to say, okay, now we can't do it here anymore because we don't have the darkat anymore. Okay, so two things about that. One is that Rav Avadya brings a quote from Rav Kook. I couldn't find it, but I'm sure it's there, because he might have given a whole quote from him, who says that even though in my time, this is Rav Kook, who's just at the very beginning of when the Hetman Mechira started, even though in my time, things are not as bad as when they were originally Mekel. You know, the original Mekila, I don't know, 14 or 21 years ago, it's not as bad as it was then. Even so, Lamaisa is, we have to be Mekel to help, he brings Yerushalmi, that you have to do, take coolers to help Yidden, and you have to help people out. So he would say, you know, even though it's not as bad, so to me, I don't see that really answer the question. Maybe it answered the question for him. Maybe for that time. But, you know, we're 100 years later. At a certain point, you have to say, there's no more Daichan. It's not any terrible situation anymore. Okay? But the other thing is, the third answer I said, I'll tell you. Rav Kook gives to his question. He asked the question. He says, how come in the days of the Mishnayos and the Gemara, nobody said that you should do a Mechira? There was no such idea was brought up you should make a Mechira. And we're waking up with this idea now. So he says, one of his answers is, the answer which I think he seems to favor, is like this. He says, everybody always knew, Chacham already always knew that you could make a Mechira. That was partially that you could do such a thing. He says, but they didn't want to let people know about it. They were like sort of keeping it quiet because Lamaisa is you're supposed to keep Shemitah. They didn't want to let people get off the hook and avoid Shemitah. So they just kept it quiet. In the back of their minds, they knew there was such a thing, but they kept it quiet. They didn't bother to tell it. But then, when things got really bad, then the Chacham of the time chose to, so to speak, let it out of the bag and let people know that you can make a Mechira. So, the reason why Chacham didn't say it is not because you couldn't say it. They could have said it just then, fine also. But they didn't want to say it. Now things got really bad, so we let it out of the bag. And he says, he somewhat compares it to, in this way, to Mechira's Chametz. The Mechira's Chametz, actually Chazal talk about it, it comes from a Tesefta. They can make Mechira's Chametz, the way we do it is in a Tesefta. But by no means was Mechira's Chametz popular the way it is today.
Because
the
Tesefta is not a gimmick of
selling by back. Yes, the Tesefta says, even though you know the guy's going to sell back to you if the Pesach, it says, you could sell to the guy, but the case in Tesefta is a guy stuck on a boat, he has nowhere to get rid of his chametz, because he and his chametz are not next to each other, so it says you sell to the guy, and even though he knows the guy's going to sell back to him if the Pesach, it's okay, he can do it anyhow, because Lamaisa says it's the Mechira. But
I don't remember
the steps
that way, but I think
it was
a wholesale gimmick like we do today.
Right. So Rav Kook says like this. He says, really, it was valid and it could have been done. Chacham did not encourage people to do that. You're supposed to get rid of your chametz. So of course you're supposed to get rid of your chametz. That's how he says, don't own your chametz, let's get rid of it. He says, but, and then originally, so that's what it was. Then came a time that a lot of didn't start doing it because people owned distilleries. And basically, they couldn't get rid of the chametz. In a sense, they couldn't get rid of it because the whole business of whiskey is to hold it for many years. It doesn't make how much to get rid of it every Pesach. So then it became more popular to use this cooler, which was known. Chametz sort of like let it out that people should do this cooler. And what happened is from there it spread to the hamoinah. And at this point, people make mechiras chametz. They don't think about, am I in a desperate situation? I have a box of Cheerios in my closet. Do I think about, oh my gosh, if I get rid of these Cheerios, I'm not going to be able to balance my checkbook next month. If I get rid of this box of Cheerios, people don't think like that. They just sell chametz. They don't care at all. So once the chametz let it out of the bag for the people who really had a desperate situation, in this case it's the whiskey people, once it let out of the bag for those people, then it just spread and everybody took advantage of it and did whatever they wanted to. So the doichach is not to say that you can only be make of this a doichach. The doichach is to justify letting it out of the bag. Once the chum let it out of the bag, then everybody wants to could take advantage of it. Okay, obviously you could question that, but that's one of the Cook's answers to that question, and how he would explain that even the doichach for us is by no means what it was 150 years ago. That's right, the doichach just was the reason why the chacham of the time chose to let people do it, but doesn't have to be exist anymore. Okay, a second question. This is basically his question. Basically, it's like this. He says, the only time it's appropriate to say that when selling to Shas of Chak, you could be Mekel, you could be selling on coolers and cheetahs and whatever it is when selling to Shas of Chak, is when the Chak and the mitzvah are separate from one another. He says, when there are two things that are separate from one another, then you say that Chak justifies being selling on a cheetah that's Mekel. He says, but in Shemitah, so he says, for example, I don't know if he says this, but for example, the Gemara says, Mishum Arnuna, the non-Jews who ran Eretz Yisrael, forced the Yidden to pay a certain tax, and therefore the Chacham were makel about certain dinim of Shemitah to let Yidden do things on Shemitah they shouldn't otherwise do in order to pay this tax. So the mitzvah of Shemitah was the mitzvah of Shemitah, but there was an outside factor. Excuse me, there was this arnuna that they had to pay that was causing them a problem. So Chacham said, that chasadchak justifies being makel about certain things. Or we can even maybe say, if I have a piece of land, and the guy is going to steal my land on Shemitah if I don't work my land, so you can say that outside chak maybe would justify being makel about certain dinim of Shemitah. But today, the reason why the person wants to be makel is not because of an outside chak, it's because Shemitah is hard. He just wants to be makel because now work for a whole year, how can I do that? Well, that's the mitzvah. So how can you say that the Shasat Chak allows me to be makel about things? The Shasat Chak is not outside of the mitzvah. The Chak is the mitzvah. You say, you know, I can't keep Shabbos. Because I don't keep Shabbos, I'm not going to make any, I won't have any money. Well, but that's the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah. You can't say that Chak allows me to be Soyuach on a Shita HaMekila. It doesn't work like that. You can only make up this something.
No, to a Sakana on the Chavis mitzvah.
Right, good example. Okay, you say, I don't want to go to war because that's psychotic. If you go to war, they shoot real bullets at you, you know? They might kill me. You know, that's ridiculous because that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to fight. So you have psychotic doesn't play a role over here. How can you say that the Shasat Chak of Shemitah is going to be makel, allow you to do whatever cool you want to do? He says, if there's an outside Shasat Chak, like the Gemara's case of Arnuna, that's an outside thing, then you could say, you know, be something on a Shasat Chak. But just to say, I have a Shasat Chak because the mitzvah itself is hard, he says, that doesn't go to call that a, that doesn't justify being makel. Okay? The last is, which is related to the second one, is that this would be saying that there's a tchak, and therefore, because of the difficulty of keeping Shemitah, therefore we have to be make about certain things. It says, well, what happened to the fact that the Rebbe told us that if we keep Shemitah, he's going to take care of us? So if you're a private farmer, maybe you're a little religious, or you're not religious, or whatever you are, and you don't trust what Hashem said. So you feel the need to go sell your land, because you say, how am I going to survive? I don't believe Hashem's going to take care of me. But think about it from the rabbinic side. The rabbanim who are making the mechira. When someone says to them, please sell my land because I'm going to die otherwise. Shouldn't the response be, no, it's not a shasat chak. Hashem's going to take care of you. So why are you telling me you have a shasat chak when you don't have a shasat chak? You have money in the bank coming to you.
So what you just said.
That one.
You know it's going to be a tchak. You know it's going to be a tchak because he goofed for part of the mitzvah that there's a tchak.
Right.
And now you're saying...
No. It's to justify, say, I have a tchak because of the mitzvah. Forget about the mitzvah. I'll talk more about the hot talk in a second. You say, the mitzvah itself is hard. Well, that's not a justification for being makel. Now I'm saying is, let's say you got over that. You say, yo, I'm it's a really bad situation. But Hashem is going to take care of you. So you don't even have a bad situation. It's not bad. It's not going to be... It's not the chak at all. Hashem's going to take care of you. So why are you telling people that it's a makom chak? It's not chak. Hashem's taking care of you. There's a rich uncle who's going to take care of you.
The chak is part of the mitzvah.
Okay, Well, you could call it what you want to. The people, what I'm saying is, one side is, there's no time. The other side is, you think it's bad because it's hard to keep Shemitah? Okay, well, that's just what you have to, too bad on you. If that's what comes along with the Mishnah, then too bad. You can't say, that's my excuse to not keep the Mishnah. A little bit, that's actually true. That doesn't bother. So now, you should know, we talked about it once before. We talked about this.
Yes,
that whether there is a Haftacha nowadays, okay? So it happens to be, I don't have the court here in front of me, but cook hell, like those sheets that there is no Haftacha nowadays. When Mitzvah is Rabbanim, there's no Haftacha. And there are, it's a shaila whether there is. No, it's a shaila. It's a machlok. It's an achronim. Whether there is or is not a haftacha nowadays, about whether nowadays the treat is only darbanon, does the haftacha come along with that? Which very much plays into this question. Lachadra, if you hold that there is a haftacha nowadays, then I'm not saying that the people won't ask for the mechira. I'm not saying they won't ask because they might not believe in haftacha. But I'm asking for. I'm just pointing out from the rabbinic side of it. How do the Poskim say it's okay because it's such a sasat chag? Well, why is that the response? The response should be is.
Yeah, you know, I understand. I mean, the facts were there where I go, so it's just a fact. It's like, you tell the Chacham, well, do it. Pick your test to determine whether it's chag and not, okay? And we'll see if we are. It's a fact. So you need carrots. I mean, the facts are the facts.
Okay, so what you're saying is the Chazanish says maybe this is what you mean. I wasn't going to say this, but the Chazanish says that even though the Haftacha applies even when Shemitah is Rabbanim, there are times that the generation is not roi for the bracha anyhow, or individuals who are not roi for the bracha anyhow, and therefore the Chazanish says, and therefore the Chachamim took certain kulas because they knew people weren't going to get the bracha anyhow. Okay, so maybe that's what you're saying. We're looking around to us, looking around Lamaisa, people are dying like flies. So we say, listen here, you know, we're not fit for it. Okay, so maybe that's an answer. Maybe that answers the question. That they saw that Lamaisa is, maybe theoretically there's a Haftacha, but Lamaisa, we're not getting the Haftacha. Maybe that's the answer.
You tell the non-farmer that he should be poor and he should starve, and then when he starves, he says, it's your fault because you're not really.
Okay, anyhow, so one last pride over here is, The point of this discussion is to us to question whether the Shasat Chag that was the justification for being Makel really is appropriate, and if it's appropriate nowadays, we'll call it like that. And to that, I'll just throw in my last point here is that many years ago, Rav Soloveitchik told the OU that they should not be Samechon Het Mechira for things that they give Hashkacha to. And the reason is because, I don't know what he told people privately about that. He told the OU, I've heard that he told private people also, and he said like this. He says, the whole basis for making a mechira was the Shasat Chag. He says the Shasat Chag is appropriate for farmers and individuals who live in Eretz Yisrael. The farmer is desperate, he needs to make parnasa. The people are desperate, they need to eat. So then there's the beginning of a discussion of maybe we should have a hetem mechira. That's the beginning of the discussion. He says, but us living in America, we don't have a chag. What's the problem for me? So if I can't buy red peppers in Costco, I'll buy red peppers in Ted's. And what's my chag over here?
Probably to sell something.
There's loads of people to sell to. Most of the people who the farmers sell to are not me. Most people go sell to Europe and Russia and well, it's anybody else in Costco. They're not going to sell it to me specifically. They sell it to anybody.
That's any question. I need the farm. What? What's your question?
I mean, the whole, you say you're doing it for the farmer. The farmer's, so it's not like the farmer needs to eat the peppers. The farmer needs to sell the peppers.
Okay, so if
so
you
want, if we're not going to buy the peppers,
if you go to Costco and instead of buying the red peppers in Costco, you say I won't buy them here. I'm going to go to Ted's.
What's
going on my bag? What? I don't need the cooler. Now, if you say the Yid Livian Cholom needs to buy it because if the locals don't buy it, these people won't have a market. That's one thing. But to say is the people in Chicago, so we don't need their red peppers. So what? So we don't need the peppers. What's it going to? It's not going to affect their market in any significant way that I don't buy their peppers. Now, you could argue that it affects it if the Hashkachas won't take it. That you could argue. But on individual, and though you accepted that, though you won't accept Het Mechira, all the Hashkachas, all the mainstream Hashkachas also don't accept Het Mechira. Some of them for this reason, some of them for other reasons. But it has become mainstream not to accept that. But this was Rav Soloveitchik, how he directed OU, was whether the Mechira is good or not is, like, so to speak, a side question. But for you, it's not appropriate. For an American Hashkacha, he said that he told them that was not appropriate to be so. No.